All right, let's pray, and we'll do introductions and so forth later. All right, Heavenly Father, God, we're here because we are in need, God. We are creatures who are feeble. We're here because, God, you have just done a work to help us realize that we are not independent and of ourselves. And so, God, I pray that your glory would shine in this place and that your words, God, would not come back empty. And you would, God, all just have all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going through the gospel. So I want to preach the gospel to you. And one thing we went over as we talked about God, just the very nature of God, that God is holy. Right? And that word means radical, radically utmost. He is the mostest. So it means he's just, the word is to be set apart, means uncommon and very special. And that specialness of God, so when he is loving, he is mostestly loving. And he is righteous, he is radically righteous. And so if God was not holy, and his love was just like our love, and his righteousness was like our righteousness, then we can kind of tell God, hey, kind of chill out a little bit here, right? All this dying on the cross business, right? Now, unless he was so radically righteous, he just can't tolerate anything less than that. Now, that's a picture that the Bible paints as God, that he is so radically committed to his own righteousness, and we call that holy. And we call his love holy. It's just God is holy. In everything that God is, he is that in the extreme. So it's hard for us to envision that because the way we approach, right, that is kind of like be happy, right? We want a little lightheartedness. We want to be light about these things. We have a word called euphemism, which is to kind of make serious words, maybe even bad words, sound less bad, right? And so that's kind of the way we're wired. And so holy means he's not like that. Bible also says God's holiness, his mostness, right, manifests holy, holy, right? So Lord God Almighty, right? The earth is full of his holiness. Well, no, the Bible says the earth is full of his glory. So when God's holiness radiates and manifests itself, we call that glory. The thing about the Bible is we think that glory, because I think we get that, I think, maybe because Moses saw the glory of God because Moses asked for it, right? Because Moses was getting a lot of his lesser stuff, like parting of the Red Sea. You know what I mean? Like, Moses was getting miracles, signs and wonders. You know, but Moses was like itching for something more. He said, God, you know, now that I got your attention and your favor, show me your glory. And so God shows him his glory. So what does God do? God doesn't show him his glory. God speaks, proclaims, right? So his glory. So that means words, right? Words are the way, like sun radiates light. So that the photons of that light are words. Then you might just be wondering here, well, and the way it is, and the concentratedness of his glory, right? The fullness of his glory is embodied in Christ, and he is the word. John chapter 1. So Jesus embodies the word. And so the way that we sometimes can kind of picture this is when we read words, sometimes, you know, when you like take the reading comprehension test on the SAT or something, and you're reading and you just don't get it. Or when you're reading, sometimes you just get, and you didn't even know you're reading. You're like, you become unconscious of the fact that you're reading. You're like, you're in the story now. You lose yourself. So the whole idea of God and oneness of God is the way we're lost in the story of God, which we call the gospel. Now, sometimes we'll hear something and it won't You know what I mean? It's like it doesn't penetrate. It doesn't affect us. We heard it before. So that's, again, the way we're wired in our fallenness is we take things for granted and things become familiar. So we think we have a Christianity here, so right, and a Christianity doesn't really impact our lives. I mean, it's not making me go to that next place. So we assume then I'm lacking some knowledge. So we need now more specialized Christianity, deeper Christianity. And so we kind of move on from the narrative, the gospel story, right? Where God is the character, right? And man, right, is the object. And so we move on from that. So we're trying to dive into this. We think maybe we can, like, maybe going and getting a seminary degree will make us better Christians. But we know that's not true either, right? Because I don't know if you, you know, sometimes say, well, now that I know more, I'm happier. Well, sometimes when you know more, you're more burdened. You're more responsible. And so here is what God is promising in the gospel, is that that narrative, right? And I don't have time to expound on this, but go to Romans 5. It talks about this. It talks about the actual message of the gospel is the centrality of what happened in the past is relevant and new going forward for all who believe. So that means the content of those words, when, right, buffered and undergirded by the Spirit, is always fresh and new. We call that being gospel-centered. So if we think we heard that story, we're singing the same song about the cross, about Jesus Christ, and it's not fresh. It's not fresh because we need another now kind of an insight or anything like that. We need the Spirit to come. And so now this is where we lose control. Because you can't just go and read another book, right? You can't get another kind of insight, right, to make that fresh again. This is where the Spirit of God now has to come, right? So light is both, right, particle and wave. Like worship is truth and spirit. So to glorify God assumes, right, that you're receiving glory, right? So spirit and words coming, and you reflect that back. Matter of fact, if you serve not in the strength that God provides, you don't glorify him, which means you're not reflecting it back. So the gospel is about receiving glory, being transformed, regenerated, and living a life, right, of continuously receiving the glory of God. So if we're not seeing that the gospel is glorious, now this is where we lose control. It's not glorious because we're not receiving. And if we're not as caring and loving, the Bible says, okay, it's not that we love him, it's that he loves us. Right? It's about receiving and then reflecting. And the command, though, is to reflect. It's to obey. Right? It's all these outer things. Right? Causing that tension, it assumes that you're going to be receiving. Now, in this life, it's really hard. And in Northern Virginia, right? Because, I mean, I was in the military, right? Traveled, you know, like everywhere. I lived everywhere else, with the exception of a few years here. But, you know, I grew up kind of here, but I left. And coming back, it's hard. It's really hard. It's very difficult, right? And it could really cloud the gospel. All right, so we're going to talk about, right, last week we talked about truth, right? What truth is, right? Truth is not just words. Truth is a person. Jesus says, I am the truth. Just like words, Jesus is the word, right? So it's the personification. Just like sin is personified in the Bible, right? Jesus is the truth. So if the truth doesn't set you free, it's because you think that knowing truth set you free, which is not true. The point of it is truth in the embodiment, the glory, sets you free. All right. So we're going to talk about, okay, how truth comes into us and creates what we call the mindset or lies comes to us and then creates a mindset. So I'm going to ask you a question. How many believe in Satan? How many believe Satan's alive? Okay? All right. Now, the Bible says Satan is around. Remember, actually, a lot of non-Christians believe in Satan. When they did a survey of the American people, most people believe in Satan. Now, if I asked you, though, when was the last time Satan lied to you or any of his demons, right? Do you think that Satan and his demons lie to you? Okay. You could probably go, well, theoretically, I guess he would. Or he could, or his demons could be lying to me. And the question I have is, do you ever notice that he lies to you? Right? And here's the thing about if he does lie to you, we develop a mindset about that. All right? We're shaped by those lies. Matter of fact, we were looking at last week how we are wired for deception. Right? In order to do what we want to do, pursue that, we are unrighteousness, the Bible says, suppresses truth. Because it's one thing to go and do things that we want to do. It's another thing if we're kind of bothered by guilt doing it. So we got to suppress it. It's one thing to go out and get, become materialistic, right? It's another thing to suppress that and kind of justify being materialistic, right? I mean, or it's one thing to be, vain, right? It's another thing to be, plagued with guilt about being vain. So we got to then think about other things. So we have a mindset that justifies, suppresses. We have a mindset about that. And the thing is, this is where the forces, the dark forces help us, right? Suppressing truth, replacing it with alternatives, and helping us to do that. And we call that sin. So then what salvation, what a Christian is now Jesus coming, and he is now giving you a new heart, and he is what Hebrews 10, let's read Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. So God is literally coming in, okay, and regenerating your mind. So you are born again. So here's what we talked about last week. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. Let's review that a little bit. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. And Romans 6, 7 says, for one who has died has been set free from sin. So becoming a Christian is to be free from sin. And 1 John 5, 18 says, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Well, it talks about a Christian as being free from sin, but also a slave. So a Christian is both free and a slave. So we want to kind of dive into that a little bit more, right? How can you be free and be a slave at the same time? Because the way the Bible defines freedom, right? What is freedom and what's oppression? What you want to do is what you should do is freedom. Okay? What you want to do is not what you should do, right? We call that oppression. For instance, if I want to, let's say, marry my wife, right? And her parents opposed me, right? I would feel oppressed by that. Or in a country where I want to practice my faith, right? But the law says I should not practice my faith, then I would feel oppressed. Okay? But the way that oppression is if what you should do is what you want to do. Now, in this country, we call oppression very different things. All right? When I went to, a station in Afghanistan, there are a lot of things that democracy doesn't bring. Because if democracy, if you get to do what you want to do, but you ought not to do them, we don't call that freedom. And you should not create laws, right? Because one of the things that I was involved in was the implementation of rule of law, right? Particularly in the military, right? Because we're trying to establish the ought. Because we can agree that if you do anything that you want to do and we don't have a standard for what you ought to do, we wouldn't call that freedom. And a democracy that allows you to practice whatever you want to do, we shouldn't call that freedom. We should call that lawlessness or anarchy. See, freedom is different than anarchy. Anarchy is you don't have laws, and laws become relative, and I just get to do whatever I want to do. We don't call that democracy. We call that anarchy, right? So what you want to do is what you ought to do. What you should do, right, is the way. So Christ, right, comes, and then he gives us a choice, because there's no such thing as freedom unless there's choice. So now I want to do this, but there's another part of me that wants to do that. Now I have choice. Before Christ came, I wasn't born again, so all my heart wanted was just what I ought not to have against the Word of God. So freedom is not that I don't want those things anymore. Freedom is now God's given us a choice, right? So now if I asked you, do you want an apple or an orange, right? And you hate oranges, I mean, you're not free to choose an orange. Choosing an orange would be arbitrary then, because you could care less if whether you choose an orange or not, because you only like apples. But God came and he gave us a desire for that orange. So now, and here's the thing, the identity that you have, right, is a heart, because you have these two hearts. Right, the Bible, God gave us a new heart. But now the identity is who you are is the one that likes the orange now. And we'll dive into that a little bit. All right. I put some pictures up because, you know, we have youth in our midst. All right. So the way that the Bible describes evil, the Bible describes that as darkness. So many of you think evil is an entity, a substance. The Bible talks about it as a privation, a lack. So, you know, evil isn't so much that it's a substantive thing. Evil is just a lack of light, right? A privation, right? It lacks light, so it's evil. And it describes sin in a similar fashion. So a creature of the dark, creatures that don't get a lot of light, right? Looks like this, right? Now, these are creatures of darkness. So to be a slave, right, of darkness. Now, here's the verse, John 3:19-20. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. So we understand. So if you are not a believer, you suppress. You can't help but to suppress the light. You don't want it around you. You need that cave. You need that dark waters to be dark, right? Because you thrive in that environment, right? You can't have the Bible when you want to go to the website. You want to, like, you know, like on the shelf staring at you. You got to cover it up. So we have to kind of like not have those reminders suppressing it. Matter of fact, we want to adopt philosophies and truths that allows us to practice what we want to practice, right? Because we are creatures of the light. So next, we have this other picture, right? Belonging to the light. These are a little cheesy. I did my best to get the best pictures, you know. I hope it tugs on your heartstrings a little bit. All right? So, but, you know, Robert gave the imagery of light breaking through the clouds. Actually, I was going to use that. I was like, oh, I'm glad I didn't now. You know, oh, actually, there it is right there. Okay. It was actually a better one. But, all right, so John 3:21 says, but whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So there is a distinction now. People who have now this, you either are a creature of darkness, you continue to want to suppress truth, or you want to continue to come into the light. Now, that's an identity thing. And we're going to talk about, okay, how do I know if I'm a Christian? Because there is this part of you there's just this hunger to come into the light because you're a creature of the light. All right, now let's take a look at this picture. All right. I think that's, what's that lady's name? Yeah. Transformers. I think that's, all right. All right, so if you're a slave to sin, right, then that normal-looking person is who you pretend to be, but what you must, right? So you feel like, you know, but who you really are and what you really want is the bottom picture. Versus the next picture. I'll be honest with you. I like werewolves, right? Except the last, like the teenage thing with the Dracula and the werewolf thing. You know, like these are like, it was just, this is weird. All right, but werewolves are, I mean, like the originalness of the werewolf story is there's this like decent noble man who like is a werewolf, right? And so he would like chain himself if the, you know, full moon came because the werewolf is not who he is. So he wants to be chained, right? Because who he is not the werewolf. Now that's the picture of the Christian. You're a slave to righteousness. Only in that you identify with the fact that these are not things that you want. And so when people speak into your life to bring a word of truth, you welcome it. Because you willingly submit yourself into chains. This is Paul speak now, the Apostle Paul. Because who you are and what you want is, right, something that you're, right, aware of. So that when people tell you, you got to do this or you ought to do that, that you don't think that you're being oppressed, right? Because people are speaking into your life to do ought things, should things. You're aware that what you want is what you should do. Because you are a creature of the light. So did you put yourself in that cage? Then you are free. But if somebody else is putting you in that cage, like church people, you know, like if you feel like stifled, you know, like you can't, you know, like people are telling you, you can't use your cell, like smartphone any way you want, or, you know, you got to go to prayer meeting. Like if you feel oppressed by the shoulds, right, then there's this, like, who are you then? Right? Who are you? So you got to get in touch with that who are you thing here. John 8:36. Make no mistake, though, because this is like, you know, hand grenades or no hand grenades, right? I mean, it's like as night and day, literally. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So that means, okay, you should be, all right, in the light of day, be aware, okay, of who you are and what you want. And what you want are the shoulds of God. And we went over the shoulds. It's not a laundry list. We were just like seven categories of heart issues, okay, are the commandments of Jesus Christ, right? So now, if we're not in touch with that, and then all the shoulds are coming to you as oppressive things, and you want to be free of them, and you don't, you know, like it's like stifling, right, as a person to tell me what I should and should not do, right? And they are distasteful to you. And it's like, well, then who are you, right? Who are you if the light is distasteful to you? You either have forgotten who you are, right? Or else, so now, this is a picture, the next picture, please, right? Envy, just as an example, it happens when you forget who you are, right? Now, if you're delighted with that candy bar, right? You're the type of person that delights in candy bars or you delight in a healthy apple. But who you really are is someone who delights in healthy apples, right? Because you ought not to be eating a candy bar right before bedtime. Okay, this is right before bedtime, by the way. All right? And envy is a mindset, a lie that says this healthy apple, right? You forget who you are and that you want the healthy apple right before bedtime, right? Because the ought and the want now is getting split, and you see that your sister has that candy bar. She delights in that candy bar. She ought not to be delighting in that candy bar right before bedtime, right? And then envy sets in as if what you ought not to be doing is something that you want. Or maybe you're the kind of person that really just don't like apples. And then God help you, right? Metaphorically. Or the other guy, right? Here's a very healthy guy, and here's a guy that pumps irons, like, you know, 8 hours a day, right? But that's 8 hours a day, right? But then you spend your time, right, you know, doing other things. But when you forget who you are, right, you forget what you want, and that's the problem, right? If you forget who you are, you forget what you want. And then all of a sudden, right, you think, well, maybe I should spend more time in the gym, you know, even though, right, I have, you know, a sibling who's, you know, ill and sick that I have to tend to, friends who are down and out. You know, like, you know, you begin to kind of reorient your mind. Okay. Romans 8, 7 and 8. For the mind that is set on the flesh, now flesh in the sense, like the nature of sin, okay, has its set of desires, okay? But it needs you to hold a set of codes for it to execute. It's like a program, right? It needs your mind to give the go-ahead, right? Right? So for the mind that is set on the flesh, right, that means you are now gratifying the flesh, right? So you have suppressed the truth. Your mindset now is given the go-ahead. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So that's the opposition that we have. We shun that, right? Romans 8, 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh. Think about this. I mean, here's the present day term for this is you owe it to yourself, right? Come on, you owe it to yourself to go get that massage. You owe it to yourself to get that car. You owe it to yourself to gratify the flesh. Come on, you deserve that promotion. You and it's that whole sense of entitlement, right? The whole sense of entitlement. And that's exactly what Paul's addressing. Like we're indebted to gratify that, right? I mean, you owe it to yourself. Come on, go, right? And Paul's saying, no, right? Don't gratify the flesh. Because it's like the signs on the zoo, right? Don't feed the animals, right? Don't feed the animals. Why? Because that beast is going to get strong. I'll just do it this time. You know, it's like, hey, what's another bite, right? And then before you know it, right? Well, you know. And then it's just like one after the other. And this thing is getting powerful. It's dominating your life. I know this from, you know, I mean, you know, many of you know that I've had issues with, you know, like eating and stuff like that. You know, like just, you know, especially late at night. And it's not like one of these things that you completely defeat, like, you know, oh, I overcame, you know, like my problem with, you know, eating late at night. No, it's like, it's one of these things that, you know what, now that I've, you know, lost, you know, whatever pounds and I got into this healthy habit, you know, you owe it to yourself to get, you know, a tub of ice cream, you know, or something like that. And then you fed it. And for those, you know, I've been a smoker, you know, when I was young. But think about it is once you're a smoker, you're always a smoker. You know, like, you go, well, I'll just go back and get, you know, one. And then it becomes two, and then it becomes a whole pack again. And same thing with eating, right? And it's this flesh, right, that you keep feeding. But unlike that, if you're a believer, there is this counter that says, well, that's not who you are, and that's not what you want. It took a long time for me to really figure out that I really didn't want that. That I the new in Christ did not want that, right? Because if I don't know who I am, then I'm always going to be going out. If I identify with the flesh, then I'm always going to be what? Debtor to the flesh. I'm always going to be owing it to myself. But it says this in 13, if you don't identify with who you are and you confuse who you are and what you want, this is verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die, right? In this context, it means like go to hell. If you never identify with who you are and what you want, right? And you now live a life of suppressing truth and just gratifying the flesh, and your conscience is not bothered by that. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So the good news for those who are in that tension, right? That tension of life where the things that you want are things that you ought not to be doing, or you ought not to be buying, or you ought not to be getting, or you ought not to be saying, you're in good company, right? You're a slave of righteousness, right? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. It means that you're free, that Christ has set you free. Ephesians 4:22, right? I mean, this is the mindset now, right? Now, this is what we call the growth mindset, okay? I got a little video after this. It says this, in order to grow now, once you begin to identify, well, I don't know if I have the new heart with the new desire and a new mindset. Okay, well, then we got to pray down the Holy Spirit, right? For the glory of God in the gospel of God to come to you and renew your mind. And we would love to do that, right? Pray with you. And I will tell you, and I promise you, it's night and day. It's not like, I'm a creature of the light, but I don't know if I'm a creature. It's exactly like that. Like, you have a mindset. And for those who are living in the tension of being a slave to righteousness, right, I commend you and I encourage you. You're in good company, right? There's much grace in your life, more than we know. All right, so verse 22, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. So putting off the old identity of who you are. So to be renewed in the spirit of your mind is to be what? To consider yourself a new creation with a new set of desires. It's a new identity. In verse 24, affirms this, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So you are now renewed in knowing who you are so that you know what you want. So this thing that you want that you ought not to want, you realize that's not who I am and that's not what I want. The very same reason when you sing that song, Jesus, right? Right? You're everything to me. You are beautiful. You're not being a hypocrite. Not singing that, you're being a hypocrite. Why is that? Because who you are and the heart that you have and the desire that you have, right, is exactly like that. He is all that you want. He is your complete satisfaction. He's the treasure of your life. Because as a creature of the day, that is exactly what you want. And that is who you are. And to not sing that, not to be free to really give yourself to him, is to deny who you are, okay? And is to be a hypocrite. Don't think you're feeling like a hypocrite because you're, singing those songs, you're identifying with the darkness, the old self, right? Because then now you're pretending to be who you're not. That difference is astronomical. Because the enemy will try to get you to think that if you try to express yourself like that, you're being hypocritical. Because why? Enemy wants you to identify with the old self as a creature of darkness, right? And try to make you feel hypocritical for being all out for Jesus, which is not true. who you are. Now, if the real you really just doesn't really want to be all out for Jesus, like if there's not a part of you like that, then we got to pray down the Holy Spirit and make sure we get you there, right? Romans 6, 11. So you also must consider yourselves what? Dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore, right? So now this is now not defining you as a Christian, but reminding you because we fall away. We backslide. So what Paul is saying is, right? You got to continue to consider yourself dead to sin. That's not who you are. That's sin nature. That ego, don't feed it. That's you don't owe him anything, right? You are a creature of the day. So, creature of the light. And verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. For sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under the law but under grace have been carried out in God. Now, before when you didn't have a choice, it dominated, it had dominion, it reigned over your life, and you were a slave to it. But now, if Christ has set you free, you have been set free. You could lean on that heart that wants God. You can lean on it, bank on it, right? And say, what? Okay, that's what I'm going to go with. And don't let it reign. So you're going to take, even if you don't, my wife says this to me, you know, we get into fights sometimes, right? And I shared this with some of you, right? When we get in the fight, and then afterwards, of course, you know, the Christ in me is like, okay, you know what? I don't care how right you were, but you were mean, right? Because sometimes in the flesh, right, we think, oh, okay, long as I'm right, I can say all kinds of mean things, right? And we know this, like, even at work, right? Like, you know, especially when you lead with, like, words like, oh, with all due respect. You know that, you know, nothing is going to come after that, right? With all due respect, sir. You know, it's like, oh, okay, like, you know what? Get out of here. All right? So, I mean, because being right allows us to say all kinds of crazy things. And we have those mindsets. So we'll be spewing some incredible stuff. But what I do say when after the dust settles and God begins to speak to me, okay, you know what? I go to my wife and I say, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry because, you know, and, you know, I was like, you know, honey, I'm really, really sorry, you know, for what I said. And she goes, you don't mean it. Right? You don't mean it. And, you know, I was like, probably agree with you, right? I don't mean it, but here's the thing. I believe it. I believe, okay, no matter how right you think you are, and I may be wrong, but no matter how right you think you are, okay, you don't get to say mean things. And I believe you don't get to do that. And it's wrong to say mean things. Okay? And you know what? My wife likes that. She likes the fact that I believe that. Right? Because that's a mindset. And when I have a mindset like that, it drives. And you know what? After I say that, I feel, right, like I mean it. Because it's the mindset that drives the emotions. It drives the heart. Right? And the most important thing is, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Right? Because it unearths those lies, the lie mindsets. So that's where it reigns. Right? Because there's an ethic here. I get to say mean things if I'm right. Or you never get to say mean things if you're right. Or you never get to anyway. Right? So there's two mindsets here. One is of the dark, one is of the light. And so Paul is saying, don't let sin reign. The werewolf is still in us. And you got to cage it. And don't feed the animals. Right? That's what it's saying. Don't feed the animals. Don't let it reign. Because who you are is not the creature in that cage. And Jesus came, okay, put that creature in the cage and has set you free. All right, let's watch this. It's a secular video. I mean, we watch a lot of TED Talk around here, all right? But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about, okay, the pointers in secularness, in our nature, that points to this concept. Let's take a look.
A key trap that Josh avoided was believing that he was special, that he was smarter than other people, and that he didn't have to work hard. He could have thought of himself as a prodigy, but he doesn't think that he has extraordinary intelligence. He says, the moment we believe that success is determined by an ingrained level of ability, we will be brittle in the face of adversity. Josh often quotes Stanford professor Carol Dweck, who discovered that some people see intelligence or abilities as fixed, what is called a fixed mindset, while other people see them, as Josh does, as qualities that can be developed, a growth mindset. More important, Dr. Dweck discovered that these two different mindsets lead to very different behaviors and results. In a study she did with Dr. Lisa Blackwell, several hundred seventh graders were surveyed to determine which mindset each student had, and then they were tracked for 2 years. Results showed that the students with a growth mindset, those who thought they could change their own intelligence, increased their grades over time, while those with a fixed mindset did not. You can see the trend. The gap in performance just widens and widens over time. The difference between these two groups? A different perspective on intelligence. Other studies have shown similar effects for our mindset about other abilities, like problem solving, playing sports, managing people, or anything else you'd like. Dancing la Macarena. The key to success is not simply effort or focus or resilience, but it is the growth mindset that creates them.
All right, the growth mindset, okay, which... we have a mindset about, okay, about our faith, about the Christian life. And growth is a promise of God in the Christian life. So sanctification, the continue, right? It says, be holy, right, as I am holy. Which means be radical and serious and uncommon. Don't go with the flow. And when God says be holy in the way we love, in the way, that's a command. That's not an option. That means we got to get serious about the Christian life. And here's the problem. Well, we're not there yet, right? But then the same promise, same command that gets us, right, off of our chairs to live this thing, right, is the same promise that he is the one that does all the sanctification. Sanctification means to make holy, right? That's what that word means. That means God's going to be doing that. So he commands it, and then he enables it. Now, why? Let me ask you a question, right? For those who are married, right? Do you say to yourself, you know what? Next week, next year, I just want to be a better husband, or I want to be a better wife. I want to grow in that. I want to grow as a father. You know, I want to be a better friend to my friends. I want to be a better church member. I want to be a better son, right? I just want to be better. Do we think that? Do we have that in the vocabulary of our minds? Okay? Or do we just, you know, I want to be humbler, more transparent, right? I want to be more caring. I want to be more giving. These are things that God is saying that shapes our mind about what we want to grow in. Or do we have a mindset of, you know, like I'll come to church, I'll learn more things, but I don't know if I'm going to really step out in wanting to be better. And so here's really the knock. It's this, because we are faced with this monstrosity of an obstacle that says, well, to have that mindset, I mean, you know, like, I don't know if I can do that. Let's just face it, we lack faith that God is about sanctification, even though that's his promise, because we don't have control of God to make that happen. If we can pay for it, if you can kind of like do XYZ and get it, but this is God. Now, it's a mindset. Growing is a mindset, right? It's, do you want to grow? And then the subsequent question really is, do you want to do what it takes to grow? Okay? Now, the 12 spies in Israel, so the next, right, were faced with the same kinds of questions. God promised them the promised land, right? A holy and sanctifying place. The 10 spies came back, right, and said, these are big people. They're going to get us. Take us. We can't beat them. It says what? Forget the promise. Joshua and Caleb, two of the 12 spies, say we can take them, right? Promise fulfilled. Now, God wasn't neutral here, by the way. Like, the rest of Israel actually sided with the 10 spies, right? And so then God then pronounced judgment, right, on the entire people. So the first generation of Israelites, okay, all wandered in the wilderness. This is why they wandered, because they sided with the 10 spies, by the way, right? So they wandered in the wilderness until the entire first generation of Israelites that left Egypt, okay, came. They were at the footsteps or the doorsteps of the promised land, and then God had them wander, right, for 40 years until they all died, okay? And then a new generation rose up, okay? And then Joshua was in charge, right, taking them into the promised land. Serious business, isn't it, right? This mindset, right, of can God do what he promised to do? Israelites and Goliath, right? They were scared. They said, he has so many targets. We're like target-rich environment here. He can just whack a sword and he'll just get 10 of us. He can't even miss. He'll just come just rushing us. And David's mindset, what a big target. I can't miss, right? It's a mindset. And our confidence isn't that just in of ourselves. It's like, did God promise something? Is he going to take care of us? Philippians 2:4, right? Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And here's the mindset. This is the tough one, isn't it? Emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Right? Actually, the whole entire chapter is just walking us through, like, having the mindset that Christ had about what we think, right, this life, right, is all about, what gets us, right, how we can make the most of this life. And he's saying, take this mindset, right, which is what? Emptying yourself, like giving, taking an interest in other people. Like, emptying yourself is actually adding to yourself, which is counterintuitive to the flesh, but relished in the spirit. Because what it is, we lose control here. This is about control. Because when you empty yourself and you want to grow, I mean, this is the narrow gate, right? So emptying ourselves is the way that God begins to now move, right? He likes that, right? And when we are cluttered and crusted, right? God's saying, empty your, like, trust me, take that step, right? It's about these first steps, right? Because it says the seed of a mustard seed, right? Really small, which just means it's not, it's that fact that you took that small step. The faith of a mustard seed is not about, right, gigantic step. It's a little step that you took, and then God just swooped through, right, to make it happen. So it's a life of constantly, right, being of that growth mindset. And scripture sometimes calls that the resurrection mindset, right? Knowing who you are, right? Knowing who you are. Holding to the promise of sanctification by God, right? For you to mature. And when you mature, then the aroma of that fruit, right, begins to radiate, right? Right? People want to, right? You become tender and caring. And you want to grow, right? And you don't want to be cynical all the time and sarcastic, right? And then try to play it off as some lightheartedness, right? 2 Timothy 2:3-5 and 14. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, right? So here's the soldier mindset, right? Serious stuff. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And here it is. Remind them of these things and charge them before God. Remind them, hey, this life, it's war, right? War over who is going to reign, which mindset is going to reign, right? Right? To drive, right? So that you don't waste your life, that you grow and mature, right? And radiate that fragrance of Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:11. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So we're not limited. If there's an ought and a should, we're not limited, right? Because like when you say, hey, you know what? Maybe I want to grow in this area. Well, I don't know. You know, when I come home, I like to turn on, you know, like I have a routine here. Like a lot of times, like what I'm faced with, honestly, as benign as it might sound, my war is actually, you know, I got a lot of stuff that I got to read and prepare. And, you know, it's just like getting to that early, right? And not try to, you know, just, you know, relax and chill out. And like, I owe it to myself, right? Because these other things that I should be doing sound so tiring and frustrating. And the problem is, like, if I do them, I'm dependent on God to come swooping in and give me strength to do them. I can't control that. What I can control is I got my favorite chair in the living room, right? I plop back, right? Place a little pillow or two on my back, right? Turn that thing on, right? I turn on the massaging thing and, you know, and I can control that, right? And the flesh says what? You know what the flesh says? Thank you, right? Yeah, you owe it to yourself, right, to do this once in a while. And that's what I'm faced with. Like a choice of faith, right? To say, God, you're going to deliver what you promised, right? So instead of rolling up my sleeves when I get home, right, sometimes I want to, right, escape to the den. But what God is saying, if you roll up your sleeves, I promise you, right? I promise you. If you engage in this war, you're going to win. You're going to win, right? And you're going to learn, and you're going to grow. Romans 12, okay, so do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is your spiritual worship. Worshiping God is having the mind of Christ, right? Is to see, right, all the possibilities that God can do. That he is bigger than all your problems, even though it feels like, okay, that your problems are bigger, right? It's being renewed in knowing who you are and what you want. Now, it means, right, in Titus 3:5, right? He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of what? The Holy Spirit, whom he poured out in us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That means we're dependent on the Holy Spirit. That means it's not up to us. We take steps, right? And I use this analogy quite often, right? It's pitching your sail. That's all we get to do. We pitch our sail. Right, the wind's got to come. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. On some days, the wind doesn't come. But I pitch my sail again. Right? Because I'm not rowing across the ocean. Because if I try to roll across the ocean, you know what? I stop rowing. And that's what where we find ourselves in the Christian life. We just stopped rowing at some point. Right? And what God is saying, pitch the sail. The wind will come. And he promises us. The ocean seems like a long voyage, right? But it doesn't help when we take down our sails. So we pitch our sails day after day after day, right? And we feel the joy of the wind in our face, right? And the beauty of traveling, right? The journey with Jesus Christ. Okay, let's close our eyes. What I want to ask, because this is not about, okay, knowledge and content. This is about just the Spirit of God. Just in your heart, just say, you know what, God, I know I can't do this. I can't row across the ocean. I can't do that. But I can pitch my sail. And God, I just, just pray, right? And let's just pray this. If you don't know if you're a creature of the light, if you've never come in touch, right, where all the shoulds of God is just a delight to you, right? If you don't ever have that experience, okay, let's just pray, right? Just for you. Let's just pray that God, you know, just gives you that heart. It's just so obvious that just there's an assurance, because you don't want to waste your life in this world, right? You don't want to waste it. And just for those who knows, right, that you are, right, God's, and that you are created for Him and for His glory. If you know that, and you don't have a growth mindset, that means you're not that interested in being a better husband. You're not interested in cherishing your husband or your wife or your kids, right? You don't have faith that God's going to bring that better. And you don't have control here because it's the Spirit. Let's just confess that. Just say, God, I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to just radiate the fragrance, the aroma of the fruits of the Spirit there. And let's just let the Spirit come, and just as you repent, right? If you've lost, right, faith for that, let's just repent. Because you're not trusting Him, you're trusting in yourself, and you're parsing, you're dictating to God what He can and cannot do. He's God. He's not us. He's holy. He's omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient. He can do anything. It also means He can do anything through you. That means you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so let's just renew our faith, renew our mindset, right? Let's just pray for that, and let's just close with worship. God, thank you in Jesus' name.